Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Glass. Doing wonderful, bud. How are you?
Catching a little World Cup here and there and everywhere from Russia. I know you're a big soccer fan. Are you waiting for the Hoosiers to get back on track for the quest for nine?
You know, the kids are a little tired of all of the recorded DVR soccer games that start playing about 5:30 each night. Not much
great
on social media during the day, just because I don't want to see a score before I have a chance to watch.
So, that is fantastic.
Yes. So, big fan. I'm rooting for our friends from the south, of Mexico and Costa Rica.
Painful.
I know, but they're enjoyable to watch. And, you know, my big thing with the World Cup right now is I don't want to be in the box on a free kick, because those guys just get murdered in there.
They do. They sacrifice for everything, country and club and everything else that goes along with that. But I noticed you mentioned there that you're DVRing these games and watching them after 5:30 daily. Have you been busy this summer? You got something going on? Is anything going on with you?
You know, we've got a few projects that are going on within the city of Bloomington and Monroe County. And
well, that's why we wanted to have
all the
you
good
on.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And I gotta ask, man, can you change up this forecast? We can't have three straight days of thunderstorms if we're trying to get projects done. I'm gonna need a little help there.
I know.
6 o'clock.
And that's the thing, where it happens as well. Now, guys can work in the rain to a degree, but anytime we talk about lightning, the safety of the worker just comes, it's paramount. You can't be out there goofing around in that stuff. So I'm going to try my best for you on all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start. We've got a pretty big map. The one thing I saw from the I-69 people that I read last hour, and I'll do it quickly for the people in this hour that might not have heard it, is 3rd Street's going to be down to one lane east and west as they wrap up some paving. That starts this morning after rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be weather dependent as well, so that might carry into next week. Talk about these projects in whole. How does rain affect what we're trying to do?
You can't put asphalt on the ground when it's raining,
yeah,
that's for sure.
That's,
you know, a big thing. You can't do the lane stripings. You can't do a lot in the rain. So it's definitely going to have an impact. You know, the thing that's going on with I-69 right now and our latest updates from them, and, you know, the 3rd Street, they'll be under one lane configurations in each direction for, you know, at least several days, if not into next week. That's just they're working to get the side paths done, the sidewalks done. They've got to build some concrete medians and some islands on the on and off ramps, and that takes the space of they need the space of those additional lanes to just get that work completed. So, you know, we're hopeful that they're continuing on schedule, but these rain days and everything else don't help much. We do know that starting, I believe, June 27th, towards the end of June, when the county fair kicks off, that NDOT is going to open up 2nd Street Bridge to two lanes of traffic in each direction, trying to accommodate the traffic that will go along with the fair.
Can I ask you a silly question about that?
Sure.
Is that going to be open for four lanes just for the fair time, then we'll close back down to get finished? Or
yes, that's okay. What it sounds like.
Well, I don't want people to say, hey, you know, they made it sound like it's going to be open for four lanes, and that's going to be the case. Gotcha.
No, they've still got more work to do there with some of the retaining walls, getting in some of the lights and such, you know. So they'll open it up for the fair traffic and then restrict it back down afterwards.
So they can get it done.
You know. Yep, absolutely. You know, we were hopeful that bridge would have been done by the end of June. Some delays with that, and you know, the weather doesn't help. They're definitely into July on the 2nd Street Bridge now.
Now, the other bridge project that we heard from the Bloomington Inroads, Jeff McKim, showed some flyover videos on a Facebook page in that group, suggesting that the Country Club Bridge with some could be open perhaps soon, right around the corner.
I just checked my phone screen. My friend over at Monroe County Public Works, Lisa Bridge, has just updated that they've got a meeting later this afternoon to go over a punch list and really take a good look at how soon they can get that open. I'm hopeful. I've been tracking that one pretty closely and watching the progress. And, you know, that's one of the projects that the city and the county partnered to incentivize some longer work days and working on the weekends and such. And that, you know, that project originally wasn't scheduled to be done until later in July. And with those incentives we've put in place for the contractor, they could. I'm hopeful that it opens any day now, but it'll at least be 30 days sooner than was originally planned at the start of that project.
Right, so, just trying to alleviate some of that, as Jimi Hendrix once pointed out, crosstown traffic.
Exactly.
That is so tough. Now, give me your feedback on Tap Road, how that's been.
You know, they so Tap and Rockport closed down, I believe, about a week ago, and that's making good progress. They're, you know, in demolition phase right now. They're, you know, really that project is an entire rebuild of the intersection. They're going to change the grade. If you can imagine coming eastbound on Tap from the roundabout at Adams Hill Circle there at the bottom, if you're coming up Tap and, you know, it's a real big steep hill there,
right,
that then goes right back downhill into the intersection. You know, one of the main improvements that's going to be made there is that hill's going to get shaved down a bit to create a much safer intersection and provide better sight lines and a lot of things. So it's moving a lot of earth right now. They're in the earth moving stage.
And then tell me about that intersection, because at one point it was a roundabout. It's not a roundabout. Now what are we doing?
You know, this is a classic example of a project that's been planned for many, many years and has gone under some design reconfigurations and such. Originally, the plan was to continue with the roundabout, I can't even think how long it dates back to when that design got changed. But the karst features in the southeast corner of that intersection.
Yeah, by the church.
You can think of it, the southeast, so across the street from the church, more towards the country club. There's a lot of big wooded area there.
Yeah, bad compass.
Has a bunch of karst. It's got a bunch of karst features that just the environmental review on it showed that there was no way to build a roundabout. You know, they could have pushed further northwest with the roundabout and bought about 10 homes, but we didn't think that was in anyone's best interest either.
Gotcha.
So it'll be a stoplight. It'll be a stoplight to help, you know, that anybody that travels that corridor knows that during busy peak times, when it was a four-way stop, that, you know, east and west traffic would back up. It would back up to the west to the roundabout, and to the east it would, you know, sometimes back up almost to country club. So that stoplight should relieve some quite a bit of that congestion during peak travel times.
Excellent.
So big project. Big project.
And the other excellent part is turning lanes always help things move
exactly
more quickly as well.
You know, and That's a good example of a project that's been on the books for planning and design for over a decade. You know, it lined up with Metropolitan Planning Organization funding for this funding cycle, and that's what one thing I want to stress to folks is that these big projects where you're doing a complete rebuild of an intersection that's, you know, a $4-5 million project overall, it takes many years to not only get the design complete, but to line up the funding source and the year of the funding source when it's going to be available. But that project is funded 80% with federal dollars. So we're taking advantage of those federal dollars to leverage them and rebuild some city infrastructure at a 20% cost to city residents. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into, you know, getting these projects shovel ready and built.
And that's why we like having you on the air, to remind people of this, that it's just not some random dart throwing contest of which intersection we want to do to make everybody angry. That's not how it works. It comes in
concert. I can assure you, Mike, that I don't wake up in the morning and think, which road should we close next? I promise you, that's not how my mornings go.
And I bet you don't run to your voicemail to check that first thing either as well. Well, that's why we have you on. We're trying to give people information. We're trying to give them knowledge that hopefully they can share and people can go back and listen to this interview at WGCLradio.com and hear about the why, because I think when people understand the why or how it works, it's a little bit easier to stomach. And I'll give you the most unpopular opinion in Bloomington right now. Keep the intersection at Grimes the way it is, baby. It is perfect. North and south traffic, you move through there, that is great. But in all seriousness, when you drive through that intersection, and my 8-year-old daughter Maria says, geez, what's that going in the ground? And I say, well, honey, that's why the intersection's closed, because you can't just stick one of those in the ground. What are those big, massive pieces? Obviously, that has to be the infrastructure for the drainage system. That would be my guess.
Well, so the Walnut and Grimes project is installing a 42-inch, almost 4-foot in diameter sewer pipe, sewer interceptor. So big sewer pipe that moves a lot of raw sewage. So what you're seeing there are the trench walls for the workers to have a safe work environment there. So those big giant metal boxes, it's for trenching to, as they get the hole dug out, they put in those big boxes to hold up the sides and keep everybody safe while they're in there putting the pipe in. So that's what you're seeing. Those are, Maria's take on it is perfect. You know, what is that? Well, that's why that project is, put the road in the single lane conditions. It's a massive, massive, massive project. They're having to go 14 feet deep to get the right slope for the sewer pipe there, to get the right flow when it gets put in service. And so they're having to get in there and bang out the limestone and dig it all out. And 14 feet deep, it takes quite the big trench box to keep everybody safe while they're working there. So
and for everybody that's dug in their backyard in a sandbox growing up, it's a little different than that.
Everything wants to fall back to the bottom as you dig that hole out, and so those are big trench walls. I was down there watching the other day. If you saw for the first few days of the project, they had some big giant machines that were basically cutting. They're big saw cutting machines that they were cutting out the trench so that they could then go back and dig out and pound out the rock and such. But that was quite the process to watch, where they're basically cutting 14 feet deep through rock and everything else to create the trench that they were going to dig out. And those machines were just they were really amazing to watch, just putting giant dust piles out of what they thought through. And another major infrastructure project that's going to have community benefits for decades and create a safer environment down there from a sanitary sewer overflow perspective and such. And so, while inconvenient, I do want to say and give a shout out to our friends at Bloomington Paint and Wallpaper and some of those other businesses down there. their grace and patience on this has been tremendous. I was sitting down with Brad Knight last week over some lunch, and Brad's business is going to take a bit of a hit here with that construction. And Brad took the high road and said, yeah, but overall it's for the greater good of the community. And getting that from a local businessman was really appreciated. So
yeah, and let's remember those, Brad and the crew. That business and those businesses over there, Indiana Pool and Spas and the video store, that's, you can get to all that. There are entryways in and out, so please don't think it's closed. That's not the case, but you have to you have to navigate a little bit differently on how to find it, but you can find it. So please be aware of all of that.
Yep.
Adam Wason is our guest this morning. He's the director of public works for the city of Bloomington. And we talk about weather, and you said you don't like my forecast. How hard is it to dig trenches and do all that when it's raining? Can you do any of that stuff, or is wet dirt just doesn't go anywhere?
You might be able to continue digging a bit, but if you get any heavy rains or any thunderstorms, they're shutting job sites down pretty quickly. So it can rain each day after 6 o'clock for about an hour, keep the grass green and such. But after that, we need it to stop. We need to get ideal conditions for these folks out there working. And the other thing about this too is, your forecast is 96 degrees and heat index 104 and this and that. The other part about it, you've got men and women out there busting their butts, working really hard in that weather to keep these projects moving. So when we ask for grace and patience, it's grace and patience for your delay in traffic, but also to have some grace for those that are out there working in those conditions. I know we had City of Bloomington paving crews out on the east side yesterday doing a lot of work. And if you ever want a day where you can really feel the extremes of heat, let's put you behind an asphalt machine on heat index day of 104. So a big shout out to our workers too.
Yeah,
well,
it would have been
everywhere.
It would have been nice if we had a normal spring where we had normal temperature days, but as I mentioned, this will be our ninth day in the last what, 20 days in the 90s. And it's not summer. Summer starts Thursday.
No.
We're not even in summer yet. So it's almost Murphy's Law, isn't it? But we can't control the weather. You've changed the schedules to get these guys. You've partnered with the county to bonus them to get it done. If anybody says that you're sitting back and doing nothing, I think that's completely inaccurate. So kudos to everybody that's worked together to try to make this get ready for school, to make it get ready as quickly as possible. There have been genuine efforts to do that, and you should be commended for it.
Hey, I appreciate that, Class. I wouldn't say I've lost any friends in this, but I've had a bit of a target on my back of late, and like you said, once you kind of explain and folks understand the planning that does go into it, the years of design and the lining up of funding sources and the competing interests of multiple agencies. You know, this right now is the combination of four different agencies trying to get major infrastructure projects done. You've got State of Indiana and NDOT doing I-69. You've got Monroe County doing the Country Club Bridge and the Fullerton Pike project. You've got City of Bloomington Utilities doing a major, major sewer infrastructure project. You've got, and folks want to, you know, we hear that, well, why weren't you in the room planning these things in advance? I can assure you they were. All parties were trying to plan these in advance. But when you have situations pop up like a major bridge repair, or, you know, finding out from a school district that you need to get this project on Walnut and Grimes done between end of school and beginning of school, otherwise we have thousands of kids missing breakfast in the morning. Like,
not good.
You adjust as you go, and I assure you the planning was taking place, but when you get some factors thrown at you, sometimes it just creates difficult situations, and you know, we can understand that, and we can appreciate frustration. We just ask for patience and grace.
That's right, and hurry up. God give me patience and hurry
and
up.
No rain.
And that's the other part of it. And the other part of it is you still have some other things going on under your umbrella. How's our sanitation stuff working out? We're almost a year into the new everything.
Yeah, we're about,
give me an update.
We're about 9 months in. Yeah, you know, from a service delivery perspective, I think things are going really well. We knew we'd have some hiccups with such a major overhaul, but the first few months were tough, and everybody's getting used to it. You know, a couple key reminders is making sure folks understand that they have to have their lids closed. So,
yeah.
You know, if you got that one extra bag of trash that you just want to get out of there, and it leaves your lid open 6, 8, 10 inches, you know, the crews aren't going to be able to pick that up. So lids must be closed on those. Want to just remind folks, you know, make sure to look on recyclables. Make sure they're actually recyclable. We're at about a 14% rate right now of items in the recycling that are non-recyclable or just plain trash. And so we just got to make sure that we're looking at the, you know, the labels on the the labels on jugs and all the different things, cardboard, make sure that it's recycled material. And speaking of recycling, we're in the midst of a major, major change in what's happening with world recycling markets.
Not just Bloomington and Monroe County. This is a little bit greater.
No, this is a worldwide issue. Yeah.
Well, our friends in China have decided they're not going to take the rest of the world's plastics, it sounds like, and other recyclables,
exactly.
That trickle-down effect is immediate and felt right here in Bloomington?
It could be. You know, we're in the midst of negotiations and some conversations with our partners at Hoosier Disposal for what they're dealing with the, you know, once they do all the processing and recycling and where the end markets are, we're having some pretty hard conversations right now, things aren't looking too bright for the very near future. It's likely that, you know, we've always said in the city of Bloomington that the recycling is free to the customer, but believe me, recycling's not free. The truck has to go out. The guy has to, the worker has to drive the truck. The
sure.
Folks have to load it. You know, there's truly a
benefits
cost.
Have to be paid. Salaries have to be paid. Right.
Oh yeah.
That all goes with it.
And you know, where previously the value of those recyclables, you know, really kind of covered that cost, we're seeing a pretty major shift where the value of the end product recyclables is not, there is no value right now. And so, the cost of recycling is going up, and more likely where we didn't pay for processing the Hoosier before, it's possible that we'll be needing to pay a per ton rate real soon, and that could be problematic for that could result in true cost to us and to the customers here in Bloomington.
Right.
We're working through that, and we're hopeful that we can come up with some solutions that are the lowest cost impact to all involved. So,
the part is about the recycling. If you want to do it, and that's what it takes to do it, I think you can't go back and say we're just not going to recycle anymore, right?
I said I might have had a target on my back earlier about traffic, but if you stood up in Bloomington and said, you know, we're just not going to recycle anymore, I can assure you I don't want to be that guy.
Exactly, because it's so ingrained here, and obviously we were talking about before we went on the air, the plastic bag issue has created. A stir, let alone recycling in general.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and just for folks to know about, you know, technically right now, plastic bags can still be recycled as part of the city's single stream recycling. They're still, the process hasn't changed for city residents. It's, all those materials still go to the recovery facility in Indianapolis, get separated out. And our friends at Hoosier Disposal have told us, you know, nothing's changed. We're storing all of yours right now. The big difference between what was happening at the County Solid Waste District and the city was they had bales and bales and bales upon bales of the recycled bags already being stored, and they had kind of reached their limit with that. And, you know, so ours are still being stored up in Indianapolis with the hopes that the markets take a bit of a turn. You know, it's possible here soon we say, you know, we can't take those plastic bags in city recycling. The grocery stores seem to still be taking them. The big thing to remind folks again here is contamination ruins the whole batch. So if, say, you have 100 perfectly clean plastic grocery bags that you want to recycle, and then you throw a couple dirty vegetable film bags that aren't recyclable in there, or, you know, some cardboard just to get rid of it, that contamination ruins the batch, you know. So with recycled materials, they're all categorized and identified specifically because of those end uses. So if you throw, you know, some regular old plastic milk jugs in with your plastic bags, you've now contaminated the batch of plastic bags. It's things like that that, you know, folks might not think about when they're just, you know, putting their recycling out or taking their recycling, that, you know, can really change the value of the product that you're recycling.
Adam Wason's our guest this morning, the director of the public works for the city of Bloomington, and a very, very busy man. This is an issue where government in this administration, Mick Renhuizen has told us the same thing, that sanitation / recycling, you believe, the powers that be believe, is a tenet of what local government should do, correct?
Absolutely. You know, it's we've long known the benefits of recycling. We've long known that it's the right thing to do environmentally and for so many different reasons. You know, it's absolutely the right thing to do. We still need to continue recycling at some of the highest rates in the entire state. Bloomington's very good at recycling, let me tell you. But with the market conditions changing, the cost structure changes. So we'll be, you know, that's something we won't do away with, but we may have to adjust how we...
Kind of like the parking situation. Things evolve, yeah. Things get a little different, and... it'll be interesting to see, but this one is harder because you being the government entity have really no direct involvement. I guess you're kind of at the mercy of someone else here, and that's what makes it difficult.
Oh yeah, you know, absolutely. I'll assign you a research project today, Glass.
I'm ready.
Find out how many recycling processors there are in South Central Indiana that will take what's our daily tonnage? I think we're at about 3 tons, 4 tons of recycling every day in Bloomington.
Okay.
Your homework project is to go find me the processors that will take that and how many there are.
I think I've already had the answer to be interesting, interestingly enough. I can almost tell by the tone of your voice, it's less than one.
It's one.
So they hold all the coins. Now, we've heard discussions here, and I'm going to let you go in a second. I've already kept you way too long, and this has been great. When you have these discussions, and I'm not – this is why I talk to you, because you're the expert on this. We hear things about trash stations and things picking up in the county here, and we want to do a center here and there. There's been a lot of rumbling about that. Are we talking about the same apples and apples here?
Not exactly, but kind of.
You know,
the long time, the material recovery facility, the MRF conversation, that has been on the table for 6-8 years now as far as conversation goes. And we've had a lot of vocal proponents for that, and we've studied the issue with the Solid Waste District. They commissioned a very expensive study to understand, is this feasible in Bloomington? And the response was, it's feasible in Bloomington, Monroe County, if you pick up 6 surrounding counties of recyclables and have that volume as well.
So you can't do your own, basically. You'd have to do your own plus.
I think it was either 5 or 6 of the donut counties of Monroe County. We would have to get all of the volume of recyclables from them, and we would have to get the commercial recyclables. So right now, the city of Bloomington doesn't pick up any commercial trash or recycling. We would need that volume in addition to the other counties of volume. We would need all of Indiana University's recycling, all going to one facility. And I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer here, but trying to get that cooperation among 6 counties and all the municipalities in those counties, that's an uphill battle. And then you've got the elephant in the room, which is, folks like Hoosier Disposal, Public Services, Rumpke. They want that material as well for a reason, So it's been studied. It's been looked at. The feasibility of it was determined that without that volume, it wasn't feasible. It was a big money loser otherwise. So it's been looked at. My dream for Bloomington is the day when we send the asphalt machine down the road, paving the street with glasfalt or a plastic aggregate. We're not there yet. I'm hopeful within maybe 2 years we might get there. But those are real world uses that show promise. It's just it's getting the technology there to do it.
Exactly right. Great job this morning. We thank you for your candor. We thank you for the all the information you've provided, and we'll get back with you after the 4th of July and see how things are rolling. And I promise you I try my best on these forecasts. I want to help you as much as possible.
Just snap your fingers there, bud. We need all the help you can get.
We thank you giving us help by letting us understand, and we thank you and the administration for being available. That's great, and keep up the good work, please.
My pleasure, Wes.
All right, good job, Adam.
Hey,
thank you.
My pleasure. Be in touch.
All right, buddy. Adam Wason, the Director of Public Works. There you go, folks. Adam's a great friend of mine. I'm not going to tell you otherwise, but that is some serious and solid information. I'm going to post this interview, as I do with all our interviews, with everybody on the program, as long as the technology is working, at WGCLradio.com.